Well, this week, many people around the world were shocked at the untimely death of the singer Michael Jackson. And whether you liked his music or not, you have to agree that he certainly was a major presence in the music industry over these past 40 years, during which some reports suggest that he earned around $700 million. And this week, too, a new speaker of the House of Commons has been elected, promising to, among other things, bring under control the abuse of expenses that we've heard so much about in recent weeks. And also this week, I read that the new head of the Royal Bank of Scotland, to all intents and purposes a government employee, is to be paid something in the region of £12 million over the next 3 years. All these stories of extravagance and seemingly huge expense accounts. And at the same time, there are today over a billion people living on less than $1 a day, and many get far less than that. Simple shelter, clean drinking water, and basic health care are not part of their lives. Mahatma Gandhi once observed, "The earth has enough for everyone's need, but not enough for everyone's greed." To share and share alike is the message that the Apostle Paul is seeking to convey in his letter to the Corinthians, which Sheila read from just a few moments ago. It seems that the Corinthians had, at first, been eager to share what they had, and they had collected an offering for those who were less fortunate. But they had not completed that offering. And Paul wrote to commend the Corinthian Christians for their initial efforts and to encourage them to complete what they had begun 1 year earlier. By their generosity and record of giving, they would be an example and an inspiration for all Christian churches. The Corinthian Christians, Paul reminded them, had excelled above all the others in many areas, in faith, in their ability to speak eloquently, in their knowledge and in their wisdom, and in their love for Paul. And now Paul was writing to ask them to excel above all the others in terms of their giving, to give more generously than anyone else, he writes, to share from the abundance they had received. The first thing we can note from this passage of Paul's letter is that Christian stewardship and giving, as Paul presents it, should be based on and motivated by two all-important principles. Firstly, there's the principle and the Christian perspective that the earth is the Lord's and everything in it. Psalm 24, verse 1. And when you get right down to it, we really own nothing. We're simply caretakers or stewards, from which the word stewardship is derived. We're caretakers or stewards of the things that we enjoy for a short time. And after our few brief years on the earth, the things we have enjoyed will be left and cared for by others. So that's the first principle. The earth and everything in it belongs to God. And then there's the principle that's based on the self-giving of Christ Jesus. Jesus, we know, gave up everything for those he loved. And in response to that self-giving and great love, we give and we share with the less fortunate. Sacrificial giving shows the genuineness of our love for Jesus. So Christian stewardship, Christian giving, as Paul presents it, is based on these two all-important principles. The earth is the Lord's and everything that's in it. And we give based on the self-giving of our Saviour, Jesus Christ. And then Paul goes on to say that furthermore, to share and to share alike is the only right and equitable thing to do. Paul speaks of a fair balance between those who have abundance and those who are in need. And he contends that it's only fair that those who have so much would share with those who have so little. The Russian author Leo Tolstoy voiced some powerful words about sharing when he wrote in his book, My Confession, My Religion, "My piece of bread only belongs to me when I know that everyone else has a share and that no one starves while I eat." It's sad to say, but even, or perhaps especially, in these times of economic turmoil, the gap between the rich and the poor is getting wider and wider and wider, as the rich get richer and the poor get poorer. And such a trend is in total opposition to the biblical principle, and it's in total contradiction to the way of justice, the way it ought to be. So to share and to share alike is the only right and equitable thing to do. But how much we are willing to share is something which each one of us must struggle and come to terms with. Along with the Corinthian Christians, we too are called to share what is fair out of the abundance that we've received. As a minister, it's been my observation that congregations like the congregation at Corinth excel in many areas: in faith, in knowledge, in music, in fellowship, in commitment to social justice, in special purpose giving, like supporting our holiday club, or at harvest time when we give to Tear Fund, or during Christian Aid Week. And the copies of Outlook, the summer edition, which are available for uplift today, in that you'll read of how the Guild, through their giving, have nationally raised nearly £734,000 for the 6 projects they've been supporting over the last 3 years. Commitment to special purpose giving is unquestionable. But one area where I'd like to encourage improvement is increasing regular Sunday morning offerings. Sunday offerings in our and in many churches could be higher than they are. Some of you, perhaps many of you, will have heard by now that Chris Speedy, our youth worker, is soon to take up a new post with the churches in Kirkcaldy. And we pray God's blessing on him for that exciting new ministry. But if we're honest, we have to admit that one of the reasons Chris is not continuing to work with us here in St. Leonard's is that our regular giving just was not enough. Not enough that we could guarantee to continue to pay him a living wage. So our regular Christian giving is so important. The reason that this and so many other potential areas of ministry in our parish are not being undertaken is that we simply cannot fund these ministries at present. To do so, a regular offering to the Lord's work needs to be higher than it currently is. So what does the Bible say about giving? Well, the ideal level of giving to the Lord's work suggested by the Scriptures is the tithe, or 10% of take-home income. Many people feel they cannot afford that level of giving. And for those who don't feel they can give a tithe, then I'd recommend starting with a lower percentage, say 5 or 6% of income, and then try to make a commitment to raise it, maybe 1% each year until that tithe is achieved. One of the New Testament commentators wrote of this passage in 2 Corinthians, "If we wait to share until we find ourselves with surplus, we may never share because we have been subtly acculturated to think that we have enough. We're sometimes blind as to how much we really have to share. And I wonder whether if Paul were writing to our church today, he would say, now as you excel in everything, in faith, in knowledge, in wisdom, in teaching, in music, in fellowship, in commitment to justice, so I also want you to excel in generous giving. There's an old story about six people who, by chance, found themselves trapped in a cold, dark room. And each one possessed one stick of firewood. Their fire was starting to die and was in need of another log. But because of their dislike for someone else in the group, no one wanted to give up his or her stick of wood to feed the common fire. One woman noticed that one of the group's number, their skin was black. And another saw someone who was not a member of his church. Another was poor and sat in tattered clothes, and he didn't want to share his log with another who was rich. The rich man didn't want to share his log with someone who was shiftless and lazy and poor. And then the black man, bent on revenge because of the racism he'd been shown, held on to his log as a way to spite those who were white. And the last one only believed in giving when there was a chance of gain. And so each one held on to his or her log, refusing to feed the fire until that fire went out. And each one of them died in the cold, clutching the log that could have saved them all. The story shows the consequences of refusing to share. And it reminds us of the great truths that we are all connected one with another, that we all depend on one another for survival, and that to get along in this world, we all need to share and share alike. I read recently of an American church group who had gone to China a few years ago. And one Sunday, different members from that group fanned out, and they visited different churches in the city they were visiting. There was a Mrs. Chang who was part of the group. She was an older Chinese woman. And she chose to visit a poor church composed of farmers. Those present that Sunday wanted to hear a word from their sister from the United States. And so Mrs. Chang brought greetings from her church in Los Angeles, and she told the farmers' church how her church were currently building a large new addition to keep up with the growth they were experiencing in their church. And then, after a word of blessing, Mrs. Chang took her seat. At the close of that worship service, Mrs. Chang was called back to the front of the church. And the pastor said that her words had thrilled their hearts. They wanted her to have their morning offering to help with the new building in Los Angeles. The offering was about $140, maybe £100. With overflowing joy and generosity, these Chinese Christians had given beyond their ability to give. Now, we might say that the American church did not need the money. The Chinese church, made up of poor farmers, needed it much worse. But these Chinese Christians wanted to give and to share with others in the world. And that, as Paul tells us in his letter, is the true spirit of Christian giving. An eagerness to give and giving generously. God calls on us who have received so much to do no less. The world needs it. Our parish needs it. We're all in this thing together. And it's the right thing to do, to share and share alike. Amen.